You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your ring announcer to the stars, Miss Fancy Pants herself, the Twitterless heroine.
I didn't even do that myself.
Jesus Christ. You can't even let me have one. Like, this is not...
That was legitimately... Okay, most of the time, it's on purpose. Like, I'll just pull the curtain back and everybody knows. Jesus most Christ. Time, it's on purpose. I did not mean, I was just like, I clicked on it to find an opening for later and it just played. And I was like, oops, that's why I jumped. So I was like, I didn't mean to do that. So my bad. Continue.
Queen no, of not, not, now I can't because, you know, you're just literally right in the middle of my intro. So sorry. Anyways.
Actually, I'm not sorry. This time I am sorry.
Yeah. Well, how would I know if you're really sorry if you're never sorry? Then this is foreign. This is a whole foreign
thing called trust. Miranda, this thing called trust that best friends have. It's called trust.
You really overestimate the level of trust I have in people right now. It's 2020. The world's on fire. But anyways, I am the Twitterless heroine, the queen of soft style herself, Miranda Morales. And welcome to another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show, a podcast which is a proud member of the Chairshot Radio Network on
thechairshot.com. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Yes, and I had to stall because literally Greg, I knew Greg wasn't paying attention. I knew the moment I need him to press a button, he's not pressing a button. When I don't need him to press a button, he's not pressing a button.
This you is said really, thechairshot.com at like the perfect cadence, the perfect speed.
Well, yes, because I know you weren't paying attention. So I literally had to space it out. You know, I usually can seem like I don't know what I'm doing, but I've kind of know what I'm doing.
Partnership. We're tag team. We've talked about this. Yes. You, at certain points, we each have to bail the other one out. You yes. bailed me out.
Yes, I did. Yes. Well, I'm Miranda Morales. This is my co-host.
Chairshot.com. Always use your head.
Are you done?
Am I ever done?
Are you ever done? Everyone, this is Greg DeMarco. He's my co-host, the kingpin of thechairshot.com, and lots of other things that people say that I can't repeat on air. So,
are you really fucking with me right now? Are you fucking with me?
And yes, we are here again, doing another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. Thank you for listening. This podcast is available and streaming on thechairshot.com, but also some of your favorite podcast platforms, such as Google Play and iTunes, Speaker. And also, this is a video cast, so you can find us on YouTube through the Chair Shots YouTube page. And if you are watching this, you're welcome. You got these lovely faces to look at and to listen to. I mean, you're welcome.
No better. I mean, it's a BOGO.
Yes. Two for one, two.
I've noticed this year's Black Friday deals a much higher prevalence of BOGOs than in years past. Like, I figured Black Friday would not be the same because businesses aren't doing as well. And so it's, you know, you got to worry about profit margins. I did hear a stat, who knows, you know, they say 85% of all statistics are made up. So I don't know. yes. But I heard one that said that this year, the average Black Friday savings amongst like the top seven retailers, something like that, is 32%. And in the past it's been 47%. Like I guess last year, which of course pre-COVID was 47%. So we are saving less this year on Black Friday. And if that bothers you, I'm sorry, but you know, the world's kind of fucked right now. So deal with it.
Well, I mean, that is a pretty good segue talking about Black Friday deals. You know, we usually don't get into it this early, but if you go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, this week, starting November 24th through November 30th, they have a Black Friday week-long sale for you with items up to 40% off. Items all over ProWrestlingTees.com are available and are on sale, including T-shirts that support TheChairShot.com and Impact Zone Wrestling. We'll talk about them in a second. But if you go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, you can purchase your very own Queen of Soft Style t-shirt. Lots of different varieties and colors to choose from as far as your t-shirt design, or I mean your t-shirt style and your t-shirt color. As I mentioned, my good podcast friend Derek Gamble bought his in blue, and damn, it looks good in blue.
I remember when I saw either he posted or you posted, I don't know, but I even sent you a message. I was like, that looks pretty good in blue. Like, I liked it.
It does, yes. So you can get the t-shirt in black and white and blue, various colors to choose from. Soft style with sleeves, soft style without sleeves, unisex long sleeve, whatever it is you like, we got you at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And again, all t-shirts, I believe, are about 20% off. So that means you can order it in soft style and still save money. But you can also get multiple Always Use Your Head t-shirts. Of course, the OG Chair Shot logo. Suck it, nerds. Hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling. And Everybody Hates Greg. Because, you know, you didn't hear it from me. You didn't hear it from me.
But suck it, nerd.
He's not the most popular guy sometimes. You didn't hear it from me. But Just putting that out.
Are you really fucking with me right now? Are you fucking with me?
That's twice now. Not only have I played that soundbite, it's been appropriate.
It's totally been appropriate, yeah, because you messed up my intro. So here we go. This is what tit for tat looks like.
That's right. This is what happens when... This is just what happens.
This is just what happens. Yes, yes. Well, the rails went off earlier when we recorded the Greg DeMarco show because it took like 20 minutes to figure stuff out. And it wasn't my fault.
No, it was mine.
Not my Dave? Fault.
It's me, Dave.
Where's that Stinsky? Not my
fault. We got that.
It's not my fault.
I didn't play it because it was my fault, apparently.
Well, yeah, it was actually Greg's in. Patrick's fault. Both of them. I don't know. It wasn't mine, though. So that's
it was only my fault on air. Patrick's stuff happened off air.
Yeah.
Because I'm an overprotective son of a bitch, as you know. So we did all Patrick's stuff off air. And then I got to fall on faces on air. And most of it will be edited out. There was this silence where Patrick and Miranda were talking, but because I was out, you wouldn't hear it because I'm the one who records everything. And so, yeah, it got all crazy jacked up. But whatever, that's a whole different show. It sounds good, and it was a really fun set of topics. So go listen to it, Greg DeMarco Show. Lots of fun. We talked about what the kid you would like, and then we talked about some traditions in wrestling. And, yeah, did we finish selling T-shirts?
No, we were I'm leading back into it. Yes, yes.
You're doing a great job.
If you're going to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, you can find a whole variety of T-shirts, both in support of thechairshot.com and Impact Zone Wrestling. So the sale's happening now. As you're listening to this, hopefully you're still listening to this before November 30th. But if not, just still go ahead and buy it because I'm sure you got some money somewhere. But prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and get your very own Chairshot T-shirt today.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. Get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Some of the baddest motherfuckers on the planet are on that plane.
So before we get into tonight's topics, there's still a few things I got to do, like our social media handles. We
just jumped right into.
Yes, that's still all right. But you can find me, Miranda Morales, on Facebook and Instagram at the hashtag Miranda, hashtag spelled out. I am not on Twitter, but hey, if you want to follow me on Twitter, well, the closest thing you can get to is at Chairshot Media. Sometimes I will take over the Chairshot's Twitter account, and I attempt to navigate the messy, complicated world of wrestling Twitter. You can also find Chairshot Media on Facebook and Instagram at Chairshot Media. And of course, Greg at Chairshot Greg on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You could see him being a social media CrossFit influencer. So many
stories. It'll never get old.
Never get old, because that's true. It's kind of strange, you know. I mean, he's very much now very big into CrossFit, documenting your no quit 30 days of no quit, consistent workout every day throughout the month of November.
You want insider info? I haven't told you this. I came up with it today. That's why I have one. I have a different one for December.
Oh. Wow. Breaking news. Yes, yes. So, well, then that means you have to follow at Chairshot Greg to find out what his theme for December will be.
Won't know until December 1st, but I have a different one for December.
Okay. There you go. Yes. So follow us on social media. I do have somebody else now, some people from my podcast group. I think it is Derek Gamble as well. Shout out to him. Who's trying to get me his goal. No, or is it Ty? Ty Asbury, maybe, as well. Their goals is to get me on Twitter for 2021. So
stay strong.
I applaud you, gentlemen. I said it's been, you know, so far not happening, but the torch has been passed on, I think, from you or anybody else trying to get me onto Twitter. Now to Ty and Derek.
That's because when I wanted to get you on Twitter, it was before I like deleted stuff. Like, it was before I changed my own ways. Now I realize it ain't worth it to be on Twitter, especially because you do plenty. You got Facebook, you got Instagram, dude, you're good. Like, you don't need Twitter. You get your fix. Right. There's a takeover coming up in a couple weeks. You know, people might see you there. It's just not worth it at all. Like no offense to those people who are out there big on Twitter. Like, I know, you know, Badlands, which Marin will probably talk about, they are big on the Twitter. That's where they find their guests, all that stuff. But, like, mm-hmm. I'm just telling you right now, it ain't worth it. No offense, but it ain't worth it.
It's not worth it.
It ain't worth it.
So
it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying, you know, I'm so used to people trying to get me onto Twitter. And I kind of laugh when people are like, that's the goal, especially since that is someone's specific goal for 2021, is that they want me on Twitter. They want
to
try and
get me. We used to make bets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If it happened, you'd have to be on Twitter. Thank goodness they didn't happen, because it just now I realize the error of my ways, and someday they will too.
So before we get into this week's topics as well, this is a segment that I try and do frequently, but sometimes I forget because, well, got so much else to talk about. But we have our item of the week. So as you can tell, you got a lot of stuff back here, all my little trinkets and items. But this week I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to actually talk about what I'm wearing, which is... This is not a tee on prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, though you should get that. But this is a t-shirt I've had for a little bit, and this is a collaboration between the Lucha House Party and Urban Aztec, as you can tell my shorts here. But this is the Urban Aztec Lucha Lit collaboration that I got earlier this year. I ordered it actually off of WWEshop.com. I don't know if they're still available. But this is Lince Dorado and Kalisto, and just this kind of blended Urban Aztec as far as Jesse Hernandez, some of the best designs out there, an artist in Southern California who just has some beautiful, beautiful artwork and collaborated with Lucha House Party on this shirt. And it also is a commemoration because I got the chance to interview Lince Dorado as part of LuchaCentral.com when he came on to promote this t-shirt in particular. But I was going through some clips because I'm putting together some clips for some projects. And I went through and listened to the introduction I did for Lince Dorado. And he just was very kind and liked my introduction so much. And I forgot about that. And even though that was in June, it wasn't that long ago, I forgot about that. And so every so often when you need a moment to get you a pickup or just to feel a little bit better, I know you guys don't probably have a clip of Lince Dorado saying how much he likes your introduction. But I'm sure you have something that reminds you about a happier time or a moment, but that's just mine. So, you know, also this t-shirt just reminds me of that. And it's just an awesome, it's a cool, cool design. I love it. It's so awesome. One of the few modern WWE t-shirts. I also have the kind of older Lucha House Party blue t-shirt that looks like the In Your House logo. I've worn that several times as well because literally I love nostalgia, and like that just put, you know, Lucha House Party and like nostalgia logos together. I'm done, son. I'm good. So, yeah.
Just to clarify, just so everybody knows, it is still available on the WWE shop. I looked it up.
Oh, yeah, there you go. It is available.
Lucha House Party Urban Aztec, you will find it.
And it's awesome. It's very, just very cool design. I love it. And yeah, shout out to Urban Aztec, to Lince Dorado, to Lucha House Party, because they're all awesome.
Do not have an option for soft style though.
No, it is not. You know, and so that's a little rough.
Your shit's great.
I have to admit. Come on. But at the same time, it's a good investment. It's a good purchase. I'll buy this for a Lucha House Party. It don't matter if it's soft style or not. I'll do this for Lucha House Party.
As you did, obviously, because there it is.
Yes, because there it is. Boom!
There it is. Do you just want me to go? I don't know if you were going to throw it to me or just...
Yeah, no. I mean, I thought you were just going to jump in, just like you jump into everything else that I
only jump in when I'm not supposed to, not when I'm supposed to. That's how this works. So
great. You have an item.
I do. In fact, an item, Marita Morales. It's like we planned this. This is a very fun item of the week. I have the brand new, get on there and see, make sure, yep. The Impact Zone Wrestling World Heavyweight championship. This thing of beauty was given to me on Saturday night, made for us. Big thank you to a gentleman by the name of Dustin King, who had this made for us, and I'm very excited, as it will be a fitting belt. It's gonna be my possession until February, and then it's gonna go to somebody else, you know, COVID willing. We'll get it to somebody else in February, and we crown a brand new champion. We'll talk about that, but this is the brand new Impact Zone Wrestling Championship. Great design by him. The only thing that I changed, because the design was sent to me for approval, the only thing I changed was the color scheme. You know, usually when you see a globe on a belt, there's blue or green. And I said, hey, you know, our company's colors have been red and yellow for, you know, since the restart. So let's go with that. And I like it. I dig it. It was quite the popular item backstage this weekend, and even lots of people on social media who want it. There's a picture that I'm going to promote at some point where the picture is of me showing it to somebody and they have their hands on it. And what you can't tell in the picture is that they were trying to take it from me and gain possession of said championship. But there you go. The brand new Impact Zone Wrestling Championship.
Wow.
It's really cool.
Damn, well, that's a nice item of the week.
Ain't it, though? Yeah.
Yes. Like, I mean, I have this flimsy title back here, my plastic.
Which has been your item of the week before.
Yes.
Hang on the wall.
Yes. And so Greg just had to up me and actually get a real heavyweight championship into this show. But it does look good. It looks real good.
Yes. Very excited. It'll be a sad day when I have to not have it in my possession every single day. But that's still 3 months away.
That's still a while away. I'd be wearing that all the time. Like, I'd even wear it to the grocery store, I'm pretty sure.
That's a great way to promote the show.
Can I borrow it? We'll talk offline. I'd like to borrow it. And if someone wants to, like, just record a TikTok of me wearing this belt at an Albertsons, I will totally do it.
I will publicly say yes, you can borrow it, and we'll have to coordinate said exchange under one condition. You cannot defend it anywhere, including the grocery store, because if you lose it, then I'm screwed. So you cannot get it. Not a 24/7 championship.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It doesn't have the same rules and confines, so it wouldn't be recognized as a true.
Sometimes people show up with belts and referees, and crazy things happen. There was an exorbitant number of referees when we went to the Royal Rumble that time.
That is also true. I do also have my own referee outfit, though. So not that I'm licensed or anything, but I do feel like I have the attire.
That helps. So if you lose it,
then I can get it back.
With you as the referee. Okay. Well, so we have a back.
I know enough for us too. We'll work. We'll make it work. Don't worry if I lose it or not, but
don't lose it.
Don't lose it. Sweet. So look out for a TikTok of me wearing the IZW Heavyweight Championship belt at a grocery store.
You have a TikTok?
No. But I would create one. That's what the kids use, right? You use it on TikTok? I guess I could use it on Instagram Reels. Yeah, I don't know what the kids do anymore, Greg.
Well, whenever something goes well, Instagram just takes it over.
Yeah. Anyways, so maybe on Instagram and maybe TikTok. I don't know. Who knows?
But I mean, stories were because of Snapchat. Reels are because of TikTok.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be Snapchat.
Oh, you think so? Okay, fine.
Yeah, nobody uses Snapchat anymore, do they?
Not really.
I don't know. I only use the filters. That's all I use when I don't feel like wearing makeup or for my face. I wish there was a filter for this right now. Going all natural this week. But that's okay, you know, because we had actually a pretty long weekend. So speaking of IZW, we did have IZW Presents NAB 30 years, brother, this past Saturday in Tempe, Arizona, at the Sun Studios of Arizona. This was an event commemorating 30 years of the impact and influence of the Navajo Warrior, a professional wrestler based out of Arizona, out here in the West Coast, but has an influence all over the U.S. and even the world. And this was an event that really was driven by you, Greg, as the promoter, but also as someone who envisioned this long ago. And I'd just like to give you the opportunity to share a little bit about this event, how it went, and how are you feeling now that, you know, NAB 30 has concluded and we've made it. We made it to NAB 30.
Yeah, we made it. You know, it's hard. When we agreed to bring it back, and I kind of told the story last week about, you know, when I talked to you about bringing it back, and when I say bring it back, I mean IZW, and agreed to bring it back. That was one of the plans I had immediately. I knew that 2020 was 30 years for Navajo Warrior, so I knew that we would do that event. And originally the plan was we held Monster in February, went really well. In May of 2020, we were going to crown a champion. I would not have a belt sitting in front of me if that were the case. And so we obviously didn't because of COVID. And also in May, we were going to announce there at the event, and you remember we planned it out, like you were going to be part of it, NAV 30, and that was going to happen in August. And of course, that didn't happen. May was canceled. August was canceled. So I had to go to his house and make the announcement. He still didn't know about it. His wife knew about it, and we, you know, helped pull that off. And here we were. Then, of course, we had 3 months to build and sell tickets and all that, and it was a sold-out show and everything. And, of course, over the past 2 weeks, COVID rates have risen all over the country, including here in Arizona. So I was fearful. I remember, you know, every Thursday our governor has a press conference. I was fearful of the press conference. I couldn't watch it because I was busy at work. And when my phone didn't blow up, I figured, okay, we're good, because I know I would have gotten messages from everybody. And that would have been, you know, that would have sucked. But no, we made it happen. We put on a great event. Everybody was wearing masks. They were compliant there. They were safe. We scanned everybody coming in, temperature wise, and literally had to send nobody home. Like, it was just a great environment there, great aspect. And just a fitting as possible. I don't know if you can ever have a truly fitting tribute for somebody who's given so much of themselves, of their lives, of their careers, like the Navajo Warrior has, but to be able to put that on, was such a big deal and a roller coaster of emotions for me as a human being and as a wrestling promoter. Cause the show just turned into so many different things on so many different levels, but to celebrate Navajo Warrior, to have that celebration in the ring after the match, to present him with the commemorative reminder, the poster, the professionally framed poster that we had with him and his daughters and with his wife, Morgan, and her daughter. And then to make the surprising, he could have figured all those things were going to happen. Like, he's been in this business 30 years, right? You kind of figure all those things are going to happen. But we did also announce the formation of the IZW Arizona Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. Arizona has kind of been up and down with Hall of Fames in the past, where they get started and they don't get maintained. And so we've partnered with the Sun Studios of Arizona, our home, to have a physical location and a physical representation for the Hall of Fame. And of course, the obvious first inductee was that man himself, a Navajo Warrior. That he didn't expect, and that's when the tears finally broke through. Yeah. And so I was very proud of that moment. That was also the first time Greg DeMarco has spoken in a ring on a microphone in about 12 years.
Wow. That's kind of crazy. I don't know.
At least a decade since I've done that.
Yeah.
And who knows if I'll ever do it again? I don't know. But if not, then I'm super fine with what we did. And so that show just meant the world to me as a human being, as an individual. So much goes into that, you know, everything that I wanted to do. We've been really focusing on the VIP experience aspect of our events and making that more than worth the price of admission. Of course, we had the VIP Q&A session that Miranda hosted. The crowd made it very easy for you. And, you know, you had to ask one question and they just took it from there. And then, of course, the VIP match that Navajo himself selected with two wrestlers it was just outstanding. Super proud of them. Really proud of everybody who was involved in the event. It was still a show. Like, it was still a wrestling event. We still had storylines. We still advanced and had, you know, a surprise attack debut in IZW that took place on, you know, that attack happened on Navajo Warrior's wife on their big special day. So that's not fun. And just really setting things in motion for the future and just such a range of emotion. And that's really where I want to go next. But for this show in general, like, just exceeded all my expectations. And I know we had this conversation in February and I said the same thing, right? Exceeded all my expectations. Yeah. And hopefully that's a continuing trend with Impact Zone Wrestling. And I said it behind the scenes and I'm now more willing to say it publicly. We're the best in town. Like, I just believe that fully. And you know, usually when you say the phrase no offense, there's offense involved. And I know that some people will hear that and be like, well, but we do. Look, I firmly stand behind what we do. We only do it 4 times a year for a reason. We keep it special. I had someone describe it for me, I believe on Sunday, and they said, it was actually my wife, the lovely and talented Mrs. DeMarco, IZW events are like Marvel movies. Like, mm-hmm. you have to go when they yeah. come out. You have to go.
Really? Yeah. It really is. I mean, I think, too, the great thing was to see people that I hadn't seen in months. There was people who traveled from throughout Arizona to come to this event. So it was really highly touted with fans. It was highly touted with the wrestlers, with the Sun Studios, you know, everyone. I the social media presence was big because this is commemorating a wrestler who's had such a huge influence in training not only, you know, people that we see now, but the really the future. And it wasn't a retirement. It wasn't that he was ending things, too. It's just a way to celebrate 30 years of a man who's had one of the biggest influences, of course, in Arizona, but I think throughout really the West Coast, and everything that he's done and the people he's helped supported. He talked about during the Q&A session, there was a great question about, you know, some of the, you know, what was one of the stiffest guys he ever worked. The man worked Big Van Vader. You know, I mean, he said there's out there on Google, on YouTube. So Google Navajo Warrior versus Vader, and you can watch that match. He also wrestled John Cena and Chris Benoit. I mean, he talked about, you know, all of the people that he's faced and the people that he's had interactions with. And of course, the wrestlers here at the state level that he's worked with. On top of just, you know, his fandom of KISS, you know, what inspires him to be in the wrestling business, if he's ever going to write a book, some really awesome questions that were asked throughout the Q&A. So a big thank you to the fans who were in attendance. And it was all just about love. You know, for many of us, it was the first time we had seen each other since February or March. And for everyone to get back together for such an amazing event to celebrate someone who, you know, we all really admire and cherish. It was all of the feels topped on top of each other. And again, too, within IZW, a promotion that's really well respected and high regarded, and it's well produced and ran. I think that too was a huge compliment that came out, was that it was just so well ran and put together. And that's, you know, due to Greg and everyone, every single individual who's part of the team. And it's truly a team effort. So I am just honored to be a part of it, and to assist how I can, and to work with everyone there. But also just a huge congratulations to you, Greg, as you know, having it run and just to put something this amazing together. You really, you know, you don't have these types of celebrations until it's too late, and I think it was just spot on.
Yeah, that was a big aspect of it is that I posted something like that, where usually you do these after the fact, and to be able to do it and him still be active and to get to, he got to wrestle at his celebration, and that was a huge, huge thing. You talk about, you know, honored to be a small part of it. You know, I just want everybody here to know that Miranda's a huge part of it, and I thank you for that. And you know, and even you and I, like, we hadn't seen each other, at least not on, you know, in person since August.
Yeah.
And so that was big as well, and that's even weird for us. But it's really that event, you know, and coming out of it, like, the messages I've received, just the things that have been said, like, there's just a different level. Like, I had a wrestler whose dad saw him wrestle for the first time, and he was texting me about that after the fact. And I had another wrestler who hasn't wrestled since February and was really unsure if they could still be what they are. And doing this on the IZW, and it was the first time ever wrestling for IZW, and they got to be who they wanted to be, and it worked. And they were like, yeah, I realize I can still do this. And even backstage, like, it was, you know, IZW was always Navajo Warrior's thing, and they always put it together. And he even kind of told everybody, like, look, this doesn't happen without this guy right here. And he was talking about me, and it was just like, you know, it just kind of hits you. And then his wife decided to say that in the ring in front of all the fans. And so, of course, then after the show, when we're all out there, I'm getting fan after fan, Greg. So now it's, I can't lay low like I used to, which I did appreciate being able to do that. But might get a new sponsor out of all that interaction. So, you know, it comes with the territory, but just the amount of emotion involved with putting on this type of an event. You know, we've talked before, I did it in 2016, and it was just too taxing and can even affect somebody's health. And now I'm in a much better position health-wise to continue to do this, and partnering with Navajo Warrior and with his wife to put these events on, it works, and it works out really well for us, and all the help that we have is great. But to anyone who's there, who bought a ticket, you know, a part of our IZW family, thank you for doing that. Thank you for coming out. I think almost everybody who bought a ticket was there. Very few who weren't. Yeah, I had three different people reach out to me that couldn't make it. One was because of travel. The other one was because of COVID. And they, you know, were letting them come to the next one. But by and large, everybody else was there. And we couldn't have done it if people didn't want to turn out and see it. Yeah. All the talent, you know, it's you're not really supposed to say thank you on social media, and that, you know, it's wrestlers do it, but you probably shouldn't. But it's their effort.
A little bit of that kayfabe, but
really appreciated the staff, yeah. Miranda, everybody. It's just a huge, huge night for us. And look, we've already had a big pre-sale for the next one, and yeah. We sold more tickets during NAV 30 for Monster 2021 than we ever have before in that type of a setting. And so I'm thrilled and ecstatic and everything, and what that means for us moving forward. We are now have the level of demand to look at recording and streaming options in the future. And so it's growing in that way as well. And I just, you know, and a lot of conversations happened backstage this time about how close this came, this being the return of IZW, to not happening. And how many times, because of how taxing it can be and everything, and you know what we did at the reunion show back in May of 2019 really sparked the fact that it could work, and that there's help out there, and I'm better at getting help and letting people help than I have been in the past. But this was huge, and I can't wait for February. So
yeah, February 27th, Monster, where we're going to crown a new IZW World Heavyweight Champion. So it's a very big deal, and we'll be very excited. We'll continue to provide you updates on the show and on social media. You can go to IZWWrestling.com for information, and of course on social media following through the next few months. But I highly suggest that you get your tickets now, because again, it's likely going to be limited capacity. So once these tickets are gone, they are going to be gone. So
yeah, and just to clarify there, IZW Wrestling AZ is a social media handles. We're getting the website updated, so right now the ticket link isn't on the website, but it is on the social media areas as well. You can even buy them through Facebook through the event page, although there's two couch seats available still. The rest are sold out, but on Facebook it doesn't look like there is, so you got to go to the actual event page that's linked through all of our social media to get those last two couches, although they're probably gonna be gone by the time you listen to this. But still, check them out and look for them. And definitely pick those up. We are limited capacity at the moment, and unless things change, it'll stay that way. And so we're still pushing with that. Obviously, if I can open up more tickets, I will, and I hope to be able to, because that means the world is coming through this, and we can do more things and be whatever the new normal is. But if not, we're going to do limited capacity again, and space people out and make sure they can have fun and do it safely. But yeah. Definitely get your tickets now if you want to go. And I can't, for everyone involved, from the talent to the staff to the fans to everybody else, the entire IZW family, all I can say is thank you. That's it. Yeah. The only word I can say is thank you for what you've allowed us to do, what you've allowed me to do, since now it's out there that I'm pretty much the person, and that you keep supporting it. So many, many, many thanks.
A big congratulations and thank you to Greg for IZW. And again, we do it again on February 27th at Monster. I just also want to throw in a quick plug for an event that I was at. I was a ring announcer for Future Stars of Wrestling's Future Stars of Women's Wrestling the night before, this past Friday. This was the return of Future Stars of Women's Wrestling that had a little bit of a hiatus, but is now back. And this event actually aired live on Fight TV. And this was an all-women's event that featured some of the best women's wrestlers throughout the West Coast and a few big names for those well-versed with women's wrestling. But it was you know, just like a complete joy and almost a shock to just to be able to serve as ring announcer for this event. And we just saw some fantastic matches. I mean, you mentioned this individual who attacked Crazy Hot Morgan at the IZW show. Bryn Thorne had a fantastic match against someone that I've adored for years, Delilah Doom, the queen of aerobics. And I just... I love her energy. She is just so fun and someone that I've gotten to work with a few times already. They had a fantastic match. You had Sandra Moon against Australian up-and-comer CeCe Chanel. Sandra Moon, again, too, is a fantastic women's wrestler based out of Las Vegas. And she's just killing it in her capacity. But really the big news out of that is that FSW Women's Champion Lacey Ryan actually lost her title to Maserati, the female with attitude, who has been chasing after that belt for a year now. She is now Maserati 2 belts. She is now the FSW Women's Champion and the OVW Women's Champion. So the whole event is available on the Fight TV app. Still, you can order it for $9.99. And once you order it, you have access to watch it over and over again as many times as you would like. But some really fun, amazing women's wrestling. Former WWE superstar and Impact star Katarina faced CMLL Estrellita, which that was a really fun match to watch. Very different styles of wrestling with Katarina with more of that UK style, Estrellita and the Lucha Libre. And, you know, that had shenanigans up and down the ranks, including with Katarina's manager, MK, someone that I've had a lengthy history with. And by lengthy history, he's literally spent the past 3 years, every show I announce that he's on, criticizing me and giving me a hard time, which I laugh, but only because it's literally happened for me the entirety of my career. So every time I CMK and one of his clients in the Heel Factory team, it is never a good thing for me. But you know what is good? The fans. The fans were fantastic. I've gotten some messages from people who ordered the show and enjoyed it. Seen some great feedback about the show itself. Overall, very positive. Some great commentary as well, featuring Allison Danger. From that many people may recognize from Shimmer, and her commentary is just fantastic. So if anyone out there is looking for some great women's wrestling, I highly recommend Future Stars of Women's Wrestling that you can order on the Fight TV app, and you can watch it again and again and again. Right now, we don't have any future dates. I think once, you know, things level out with some of the uptick in COVID cases, announcements will be made about schedules for 2021. But the plan is for the Future Stars of Women's Wrestling to be a regular attraction with FSW and hopefully continue to air live on the Fight TV app. So make sure you order it, because then you'll be able to listen to your girl here announce and host through the night. So a big thank you to FSW and the team there for having me announce, and to all of the wrestlers who are just fantastic, big personalities, some just amazing and talented women that I was just really honored to work with. Yeah. A big weekend.
It was a big weekend. A lot of things going on and a lot of people that did a lot of great. It was just a good positive weekend in general. And hopefully it's not too long before we do these things again.
Yes. And you know what? That even reminds me. So got to look up the socials, because you can go to fswvegas.com for information. But of course, I'm like, I'm so unprepared.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Well, of course, you can go to FSW social media accounts.
Yep. I can tell you it is FSW Vegas on Twitter as well. And
I believe the same thing with Instagram. And you can also, they have links there to the Future Stars of Women's Wrestling page. That is also on Facebook and all over social media. So they are also releasing their own network coming soon. They have a Twitch channel for streaming. They have an app. And soon enough, they're going to have their own network full of content of previous shows, matches, interviews, all of that. So keep tuned to FSWVegas.com. Now, another big thing that happened this weekend, kind of in similarity to NAB 30, there was another big 30th anniversary that was celebrated, and that was at Survivor Series, the 30th anniversary of The Undertaker's debut, which also became the night that he officially retired, as I guess the best terminology, but it was the final goodbye to The Undertaker. We've had celebration throughout the entire month of November with the WWE providing lots of content and stuff on the network, interviews. We've seen The Undertaker really everywhere over this past month, all in recognition of his career and, you know, now his final goodbye. So I wanted to take a few minutes to talk about that because it's really a monumental, you know, moment to have someone who's been wrestling for 30 plus years, but primarily his whole career has been in the WWE, retire on the same pay-per-view that he debuted. And I think for a lot of fans, we didn't really know what to expect because, you know, we really, again, his retirement came more during the documentary, The Last Ride, where he vocalized, you know, that his last WrestleMania appearance was going to be his last appearance, period. And I think as fans, we thought, you know, is it going to be true? What is that? What does that look like? But now we really have the book closed, the finality of it all. And I think overall, the job that they did in highlighting and celebrating this event was done really, really well. I think it wasn't, you can say, I would say that it wasn't too much. Oh, but then when you think about the kind of the pomp and circumstance they had during the segment, it was a lot. But I think even then, maybe it's because The Undertaker himself during the segment was pretty straightforward and very concise in his message. Undertaker hasn't been known for, you know, lengthy promos. But I think that it all just came together really, really well. So I'll start off kind of just describing the entirety of the segment and then we'll go into our thoughts. This happened after the quote unquote main event, well, the main event between Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre, with Roman Reigns winning kind of do some dubious means as well. So that it was an interesting ending to the match, but not surprising either. So the segment started by having WWE legends and superstars of the past come to the ring, all there in celebration of The Undertaker. And all of these wrestlers were individuals that he had either on the stage, programs and memories with, or behind the scenes. So we saw people anywhere from Mick Foley to Shawn Michaels and Triple H. These are people he had a lot of on-screen feuds with, too. Some of his friends behind the scenes, like the Godwins and Savio Vega and Rikishi. And they referenced the Bone Street Crew, his group of friends that he had associated with during his time traveling and being a part of the WWE. And then after that, Vince McMahon came out on his own to do a small speech about The Undertaker. And I really liked what he said about, they say, you know, things don't last forever. And he said, but The Undertaker will. And I felt that. I believe that. I do truly believe that his memory and his presence is going to live on in professional wrestling as long as it exists. Because there's nobody like him that did what he did, that had the career that he had. And also just the influence that he had on the business, but in front of the camera and behind the camera too. And you could kind of tell for Vince, this was a big moment, that really this felt like it was it, that this was it. The Undertaker was really, really hanging it up. And then we got the entrance of the Undertaker, that slow, methodical walk to the ring, having a lift, which I kind of thought was funny that he didn't have stairs. He's because he's not gonna climb into the ring. He had kind of a lift that brought him up to the stage or to the ring. And once he got in there, just did a very small, concise speech about, you know, having to hang it up, that his time has now come up. And then he got down on the signature pose of one knee, and we had the hologram, which was something pretty unexpected, a hologram of the late Paul Bearer with the urn, and the Undertaker paying homage to that portion of his character and also Paul Bearer, and then the slow walk back. So I know I kind of went through that pretty quickly, but it's also because I wanted to give us time to talk a bit about what that segment meant to us and how we felt throughout it. So Greg, I'm kind of interested, kind of what are some of your overall thoughts on this segment and really this being the end of the Undertaker's career?
I mean, I enjoyed this segment for what it was. I didn't really have any expectations going into it. I saw some criticism online. You had all these people in the ring when it's the COVID era, whatever, like get over yourselves. The WWE has a protocol. It's no different than other wrestlers. Guarantee you they all wouldn't have missed that for the world.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know what, let people make their own decisions. But it was a formality in my way, because he already did announce the retirement. We already knew he was done. He's doing a lot more public interviews. To me, what it represents is the end of sort of that dead man aspect of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to see him. It's not like he's going to disappear forever, but we're going to see him, the guy that we have seen more of through things like The Last Ride, which is basically Biker Taker. And that's who we're going to see now in the future. And it's not like he's never going to appear again. Wouldn't shock me if we ever see a choke slam or a tombstone again, because other retired wrestlers, even if Shawn Michaels didn't wrestle that one match, there was still a super kick that he would have thrown here and there. So you might still see those things. But it was necessary, but it was like, okay, like he retired. He had the last match. He thought it was done. Then we had The Last Ride. Now we have this. I hope it was enough for wrestling fans to realize, yo, he's done. Like, he said it so many times. Yeah. I don't see him coming back. He talked about what it's taken to get back now. I just don't think it's going to be, I really do think he's done. It would have been better in front of a live crowd, but I mean, Daniel Cormier's UFC career ended not in front of a live crowd. Like, that's just the world we're in right now.
That's the world we live in right now. Yeah. And I think they had to do this one, because you had The Last Ride, even though it served as the opportunity for him to share, that his career was ending. He didn't get to live any of this through a live crowd. His last match at WrestleMania was all cinematic, and it was done really well, but you didn't have that live crowd aspect where the crowd got to process this. So it's almost, I think the crowd has felt very disconnected from his retirement because they weren't involved in it. Even when he had that match against Roman at WrestleMania, and then when he actually kind of folded up, like that felt like more of a finality. even though it wasn't, because of the fact that the crowd was there and got to see it and process it. So it's almost been in stages where this retirement has happened, but I think it's been all the better because I feel like at least fans have had time to process each element of this. His final match, the documentary where he mentions and talks about, you know, his career ending and now having more of this formal pop and circumstance ceremony that really closes the book on his career. And I think, you know, I mean, we see things like Saudi money or, you know, the wrestling business and Never Say Never, you know, those are all things that are fairly true, but I don't think they would go through this level if he truly didn't feel like this was it. And even I do feel like someone like Vince truly looks at this and respects that this is the end. So I loved all of the elements, though. There was some really fun aspects of it with like the Tesla coils there and kind of how they were able to mimic his music. Of course, the flames, the fog, the darkness, like those are things that still give chills up and down my spine every time I hear it, because there is truly no entrance like that. And there will never be an entrance like that. You do have kind of darker entrances that are pretty interesting. Say like an Aleister Black. I think that would be, if we ever see him again, that his would be kind of a close call. His is really, really, really fun. And even as I mentioned, earlier when we were talking about this on the Greg DeMarco show, she's been coming back, Soo Young, and her entrance, even though it isn't as grandiose as an Undertaker, those really dark, deep entrances are just, those get me. Those, like, I, as a horror movie buff and someone who loves that suspense, that pulls that cinematic side out of me. But the fact that literally, I mean, that's what we've had now for 30 years and it has evolved and changed, but to, you know, the gongs, that whole style, all of it just came together so well. And I think over the past few years too, the quality of the entrances has grown and blown up where it really does emphasize and add to the character. But the scenery behind it. What was your thoughts on the hologram? Because I think that the concept of holograms has been talk about controversial. We've seen that, say, you know, the Tupac hologram. I think there was a Freddie Mercury one, or there was talks about one. Holograms of you know, late celebrities being fairly popular now. This was the first time we saw WWE utilize it in this way. Did you feel like they did it in a tasteful way, or do you think that it was somewhat unnecessary?
No, I think it was tasteful. I don't have a problem with the fact they did it or how they did it. I thought, and of course, if the man didn't want it, they wouldn't have done it. Like, let's you know, make that perfectly clear. If The Undertaker thought it was a bad idea, it wouldn't have happened. But I liked it, added that element that we all remember. And it was that fitting tribute, and also tribute to the fact that Paul Bearer was such a huge part of the Undertaker character. Even though he wasn't there on day one when the Undertaker made his debut as Brother Love, they realize, and Bruce Pritchard on multiple podcasts has talked about this, like why the Paul Bearer character ended up being part of it, and they became great friends and a part of each other's lives. And I think it was, if there wasn't a Paul Bearer hologram, you know, there was the video packages, all that, it would have been fine. But and I haven't seen any complaints about it, but I don't, you know, we talked about the cesspool at Twitter as earlier, so who knows? Maybe some people.
Yeah, I'm not on Twitter, so I don't know.
Somebody did.
Holograms can be controversial.
I liked it. I thought it was fine. I don't think it was in bad taste. It's not like they bust out a Chris Benoit hologram or something like that.
Yeah, no, I think actually the length of time, that to me, it's a nuance, but I think that if they would have left that hologram just kind of sitting there for too long, then it probably would have felt played out. But I think they had the hologram in just the right span of time. Also, the fact that they weren't trying to do some virtual reality like movement, like it was static. And these are just small things that I think that it was more of a projection of a picture and him paying homage to it than it was trying to do something of like recreating someone who's no longer with us. So I feel like those are the things, those are the little nuances that when I view, say again, like those holograms that he talked about at Coachella, those were ones where they were having someone like perform. They were using this hologram to have them sing and perform a song, which I could see why that being tricky, but I think because of the projection and the way that this was more static and the time frame of it, I think it was done, I believe, very tastefully and very well, and it really added to, I think, as much as this was a celebration of Undertaker, I think it was also a celebration of the people and the wrestlers and the managers and everyone who's had an impact, or who has just been impacted by his career. And you're right, there, you know, we'd be talking about a different Undertaker without Paul Bearer.
Yeah,
and you would. So, you know, I think that was done pretty well, and a very cool aspect. You know, again, WWE, I mean, I don't know how often they would ever use something like that again. Who knows? But at the same time, I think that you got to just be mindful about those nuances. But again, I mean, that whole setup lended it perfectly, especially with the layout of the darkness and the fog. It did it in a way where it looked really good as well. Like, if it didn't look that great,
and let's be honest, if the man were still here, he would have been there. And he would have been there in person and all that, but he's not. You want to do something really interesting? I've pulled up, and it's just, I'm fascinated by this, and I wondered about this.
Holograms.
Little,
now we're going to talk about holograms?
No, we can. Oh. And that'd be fine. I pulled up the last 10 matches The Undertaker have wrestled is fascinating. It really is. It's somewhat, it's somewhat surprising, and maybe not. So I'm going to go through.
Lay it on.
Then April 2nd, 2017, he lost to The Undertaker at WrestleMania. It was a no holds barred match. I don't think anybody remembers, but it was no holds barred. A year later, April 8th, 2018, he beat John Cena in under 3 minutes at WrestleMania 34. He then wrestled just a couple weeks later in a casket match on April 27th. He beat Rusev in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. He wrestled again July 7th in Madison Square Garden, New York City, at a house show where he teamed with Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman to defeat Baron Corbin, Elias, and Kevin Owens. Then October 6th of 2018, he lost to Triple H in Australia at Super Showdown. November 2nd of that year, he did a lot in 2018, also in Saudi Arabia. Of course, Triple H and Shawn Michaels beat The Undertaker and Kane. And a lot of these matches were long. Like, these are 20-minute matches, some of them. Now we get down to his last four matches ever. He beat Goldberg, of course, at Saudi Arabia in 2019. That was June 7th. July 14th of 2019, he teamed with The Undertaker to defeat Drew McIntyre and Shane McMahon at Extreme Rules in 2019. I bet a lot of you were like, I forgot about that.
What was that match? Who did Undertaker team up with?
So it was Undertaker and Roman Reigns. Drew McIntyre and Shane McMahon at Extreme Rules 2019 in July 14th, 2019. Yeah, so less than a year before Drew McIntyre becomes WWE champion at WrestleMania, he was managed by Shane McMahon. And so they were trying with Drew McIntyre before all this happened. That was his third to last match. His second to last match, he won the Two-Week Trophy Gauntlet, where he beat AJ Styles. He didn't wrestle anybody else in that gauntlet match. It basically a glorified parking lot in Saudi Arabia. And then his final match ever, of course, March 25th, 2020, the Boneyard match, he defeated AJ Styles. So AJ Styles wasn't just his final opponent. He was his final two opponents. Yeah. And before that, it was Drew McIntyre and Shane McMahon. Like, it's just so fascinating to see what The Undertaker did and how it ended. But I will add this on top of it. It doesn't matter. Like, it's the end of a 34-year career, 30 of them spent in WWF, WWE. And I don't know that any match could have really done it justice, because you're talking about the totality of a career. It's funny. We talk about NAV 30, the IZW show after the match, the people that participated in the main event were like, how was it? And my answer was, it doesn't matter how it was. Like, it was good. You guys did a great job. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter because of what it was. And that's really what this is with The Undertaker. And the point I really want to drive home about his final matches and where it was is that this is where he fits in the list of greatest professional wrestlers of all time, whatever. Who knows? Like, that's a list, whatever. I would defy anyone to find a character they would put above him on the list of characters in professional wrestling. I can't think of a more iconic persona in the world of professional wrestling ever. and I won't listen to arguments to the contrary, but I do believe that that is the greatest character that's ever existed in pro wrestling, mm-hmm. and the most iconic persona that's ever existed in pro wrestling. And I don't know if it'll ever be surpassed.
No, it's hard to believe, because someone who's had that kind of career through multiple decades, and even though he's had an evolution between the Dead Man and the Biker or American Badass, and mm-hmm. you know, you had even more of like the Ministry version compared to the Brothers of Destruction version and all that, and still at the core, it's this persona that evolved to be something larger than life, that ultimately he was larger than life. Whether he was a biker or a leader of a cult, you know, like, and that's also the strange continuity in wrestling, is that you could be anything. You really can. He really did show that as a wrestler, you know, as long as you put the dedication into it, you can truly be anything. And, you know, all of the pieces and elements that came together with the music and the look, and the opponents and the style, all of that came together so well that it led to a 30-year career within the WWF, WWE, and even before then too, you know, I mean, I don't know, we just wouldn't assume, you know, any character beforehand would have had that same longevity, but this, even now, you know, even some of the other greats that we talk about, with Hulk Hogan is probably one of the only other ones that could stand a candle to it, maybe into a Ric Flair, but you know, those were still men that were just kind of larger than life, but almost Undertaker felt yeah. like a god, like this yeah. mystical force, something beyond explanation, you know, making things like the great beyond and life and death and all these things a little less intimidating to face, or more easier to look at, because it was presented in the format of pro wrestling. And yeah, it was a little ridiculous sometimes with buried alive matches and casket matches and, you know, all of these things, but they added so much to stories, and it really fueled fans to be drawn to him and the programs that he was in. And that's something very rare that I don't think we'll see again in wrestling. I really don't. I think this was it.
Yeah,
you're right. This was the one and only. Because now crowds are too smart, too. I mean, you also have to see, I mean, his career span from a very traditional pro wrestling environment to what we got with the Attitude Era, the Reality Era, and where we're at now. You know, this evolution of pro wrestling is never going to be repeated. So his, you know, what he did in his career will never, no one's career is ever going to look the same because of the way that his career just happened to evolve in this time frame. I think there's going to be great wrestlers that are going to leave an amazing legacy, but nothing like the persona that is The Undertaker. And that's magic. You know, I would always joke about how I would glow. I feel like, you know, the late 90s was the best time to be alive. I thank God that God allowed me to be a wrestling fan in the late 90s, you know, because we all have our moments and decades in wrestling. But truly, I think at the end of the day, it's to feel like I got to experience The Undertaker as a child to and as an adult. And I got to have that experience just watching him and having him a part of my wrestling fandom. That's what I'm thankful for. Like that is what I appreciate. That is one of the things about being a wrestling fan, and things that, you know, these kids now, especially anyone, you know, that maybe have just seen him in the past few years, didn't really have the opportunity to witness him in ways that we have, you know. Yep. That's what I'm thankful for, because that's truly once in a lifetime, if ever.
Think about this. The Fiend would have to be a character for another 29 years.
Nope.
To make it to the level of The Undertaker. Even if you just wanted to Bray Wyatt, you're looking at another 24 years, 25 years, really 24 years. I don't see those things happening. No. The Fiend is that at the age that would make sense, another 24 years, he would be basically 60 or pushing 60. The Undertaker's younger than that right now. But it's just, yeah, like I can't imagine it. The world has changed too much. People are better about saving money too much. Like, there's so many reasons why yeah. it wouldn't happen. And that just hopefully gives a greater appreciation for what this was and what this accomplished, because we're going to celebrate 15 and 20 year characters in the future. I don't know that we're going to celebrate another 30-year character like this.
No, we won't. So that's, you know, definitely, I think the whole segment left chills up and down my spine. I think it was really well put together, and it really does feel final. You know, this does feel like it's closure. And that's okay. The fact that they didn't have to do this, you know, he didn't have to do this for the fans or anybody but himself. And the fact that he did let fans in the way that he has, that makes me really appreciative of his career and, you know, what wrestling has meant to him, because it really has, he's meant a lot to us as fans. And, you know, it brings peace. I feel like it's a good, peaceful way. You know, I think when some other people had to retire due to injury or, you know, for whatever reason, you know, that it definitely was a sad moment, but this didn't feel sad. You know, it just felt like closure. It felt like final. And
it is really good that he got to say he was done.
Yeah.
That no,
because that's all that matters. It's really up to, you know, it's really he.
A doctor didn't tell him he was done.
Yeah.
Vince didn't tell him he was done. He got to say, now I'm done. And not everybody gets that chance.
No.
And I think that, you know, I would be like, oh, and if anybody deserves it, it's The Undertaker. Like, everybody deserves to say when they're done.
Yeah, everyone deserves that ability to,
he got to
lay that path for their own career, to decide when they should finish and when they should leave and when they're done. And he got that. And if anyone deserves that, it's him. After all the years, decades of traveling and putting his body on the line and the sacrifices and everything that he's done for the company. He really was that pillar of the WWF and WWE that made him really unique and didn't steer away. He stayed there through thick and thin. And that is why I think the WWF and the WWE will always be synonymous with The Undertaker.
100%.
That company would not be where it's at without The Undertaker. And I do believe the company respects that and knows that as well, because of the ability to let him have the opportunity to do all of the things that he's wanted and have this process and way to close the book on his career. And ultimately really saying, this is it. You know, they respect his wishes. I believe that is also the case, that they do respect that this is really it. And we're not going to see that, you know, Saudi jump happen again. I really believe it is truly, truly it. And I think that was even before things with COVID and all of that happened as well. I think that was the path. But even now with COVID, it's only more solidified. Like, ain't no one going to be traveling, doing any of that.
I think that it's COVID led to the Boneyard match, and I think that he saw it as a true fitting ending. I have an analytical question for you. Let you put your analytical hat on and show off some of your knowledge and opinions in wrestling that just kind of came to mind. Because when I was going through that list of matches, and you know, you had WrestleMania 33, WrestleMania 34, WrestleMania 36. The Undertaker was not part of the card on WrestleMania 35. What kind of influence do you think seeing a WrestleMania without The Undertaker had on WWE and The Undertaker to get to this point where he could say, I'm done?
Well, I do actually think that the way that WrestleMania was presented this year made it a little easier, because it was a WrestleMania that we hadn't seen before. So I'm kind of answering your question, but in a different route, because I feel like the crowd and the environment of WrestleMania is always hard to pull away from. You know, I feel like for WWE to not have Undertaker at a WrestleMania, I think was a big shock. And for fans it was, and we kept thinking, okay, this is it, we're going to see him. But I do think that in some ways, the structure of this year's WrestleMania also lent to him to be like, this is really it, because there's no more of that live crowd feel that gives you the adrenaline that makes you think one more time. I think the way that the match was presented and put together, it was still done in a way where it was entertaining, but it was done in such more of a smaller set. And so yeah. I do think that it really influenced him for the better in making this decision. Whereas, you know, I think we did see him come back for a few more WrestleManias after that because it was so hard to be away from it, to say no, you know, and to also feel like he needed to have that one more match, the match that really felt like this is it. So it seemed like that was what we got from what he mentioned in the Last Ride documentary. And I just think the environment, there's something about WrestleManias and Undertaker especially that probably made it really hard to step away. And that's why we only saw him at WrestleManias for some time. And that this year's WrestleMania, as much as it, you know, fans missed being there, I think for him, it needed to happen this way. So he could finally say, this is it.
Yeah, if you look at the two together, because 34 was really his last WrestleMania quote-unquote match. Mm-hmm. And that was a 3-minute match with John Cena. Before that, it was a 20-plus minute match with Roman Reigns. It didn't go so well physically. And I think when you put the two together, 35, he didn't have a match. He appeared the night after in Tombstone, I believe, Elias. But 36, and then, of course, he had the Boneyard match. Now, without COVID, he still would have had a match at 36. It would have been in the stadium. And I don't want to be disrespectful, probably wouldn't have been as good as the Boneyard match.
No. I think the Boneyard match was really good because of the fact that it could accentuate the strengths and minimize the weaknesses and the way that you could edit and showcase this. I mean, and two, I think it was a good blend of both, you know, American Badass Undertaker with, you know, traditional Undertaker. You had, you know, AJ that's, you know, one of the best in the business. And so I feel like this was definitely a better match put together than what you would have had in a ring.
Yeah. I think the combo of no Taker at 35 and the Boneyard match 36 really showed everybody it's time. We can move on now. Yeah. The other thing you brought up, which is what I want to bring up too. I love the fact, let me back up. AJ Styles' career is weird. Like it just is. He was almost 40 years old when he got to WWE.
Yeah.
Like, and he said it himself, like it was probably 10 years too late. The WWE said it themselves. They waited too long to go after and get AJ Styles. And yet he held multiple world championships already. Like he went in there and he was already a top-notch guy. Like, but he gets to be the Undertaker's final opponent. Like of all the things he missed out on by not being a WWE superstar for at least 10 years of his career when he probably should have been, His WWE career will be shorter than it ever should have been. He's still going to be a Hall of Famer, all those things, right?
Yeah.
He gets to be the Undertaker's final opponent. No one else is going to get that. And that's going to belong to AJ Styles. And for a guy who won't have the time to accumulate the accolades in a WWE career that he should, at least he gets to be the Undertaker's final opponent. I think that's really cool. I think it's cool for AJ Styles, who deserves way more accolades than he'll be remembered for because most of them happen in TNA, to get that one. And to have that one that no one can ever take away.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of the silver lining in life. You know, I think we always, as people, worry about our timelines and when we're going to get to places and how we're going to get there and what that's going to look like and if we're ever going to have enough time. And I think AJ Styles is a prime example of just utilizing the time that you have to do the best that you can. And in the short time that he's been with the WWE, I mean, he's already had one of the best debuts within the past, 10 years, to be honest, I think.
Yep.
Having multiple world championships and other championships as well. And then having some really high marquee matchups, wrestling at multiple WrestleManias, headlining events, and then being the Undertaker's final opponent. Whereas, you know, if we were doing this 10 years ago, we would have thought probably would have been John Cena or Shawn Michaels or someone that has really been Brock with Lester, the company for that long. Brock, yeah. You know, or even when we thought it was Roman Reigns because that's how they wanted to push him. But the fact that it's AJ Styles that gets that, someone who wasn't WWE born and bred like The Undertaker, there's definitely some irony in there.
You're right.
But I do think that too, when you look at the caliber of and the professionalism that he has, I mean, it makes sense. And so, you know, I think it's a sign too that sometimes it doesn't matter how late you get to the party. you can still have fun with it. And I think that that's, you know, that's a whole other topic we can talk about on another episode, because that literally is, you know, AJ Styles coming late to the game in WWE, but still doing, you know, pun intended, phenomenal things, and having a career that maybe it's meant to be, that he was meant to come at this point of time, because now everything's more, you know, fast tracked, and he's going straight for the opportunities that maybe would have taken him years to get to if he had come, you know, earlier to WWE. And he absolutely probably wouldn't have been the Undertaker's final opponent. And so you weigh out the good and bad, but that's the interesting thing about life. You know, timelines happen the way that they're meant to. And, you know, I think too, with The Undertaker, this was the timeline that he was meant to have. And it's, you know, amazing that it was 30 years with the same company. He's really one of the few to ever do that. And the timeline that rolled out just this year for him, I think too, is a sign things meant to come out the way that they're meant to, with his final match and the Last Ride documentary and now. But again, you know, I mean, Thanksgiving is a time to be thankful, and a lot of things we roll through our heads. And, you know, of course, we're thankful for a lot of things, our friends, our family, our health, you know, having jobs, or, you know, having a roof over our head, or having, you know, our pets, whatever it is. But The Undertaker has made me really thankful to be a wrestling fan. And so I feel so appreciative of his career and him having this goodbye in a way that brings all of us in, and thankful that, you know, yeah, I lived in a time where I could witness him in pro wrestling. So I am thankful for him. I'm thankful for his career, and I'm thankful for this celebration. Well, Greg, we, you know, I don't know how other segue to do this, but we do have some bills to pay.
That's the best segue possible.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution, bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
So before we end tonight's show, I mean, you just heard it, thechairshot.com. I want to do a plug for the Badlands wrestling podcast that you can find as part of the Chairshot Radio Network on thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
I am a guest on this week's edition of the Badlands podcast. For those of you who have not listened to it before, it is a very fun podcast that is formatted pretty differently. The focus of the podcast every week is a Mount Rushmore of different wrestling-related topics. It could be moments, it could be people, could be anything related to wrestling. And so I recorded with the Badlands team a little while ago, and the topic that I had was Perfectly Me, which they thought was a little silly, and I said, no, this is me. And it was the Mount Rushmore of worst debuts. And that, I mean, worst anything is up my alley, because then you just, you know, look through some of the dumbest and silliest things that pro wrestling has to offer. So that was a really, really fun episode to record with Mags and Tully. They are just fantastic hosts, and yes, if you want to know what we consider our Mount Rushmore of the worst debuts, please listen to this week's edition of the Badlands podcast, because it, and for, again, thinking about Survivor Series, you know, one of the worst debuts came out of that, if you know what I'm talking about. If you, you do. Don't, yeah, you got to listen to the Badlands podcast, because we absolutely cover that and so much more. So
I do want to reiterate one thing that I talked about with that Badlands episode. I talked about one of the shows. I don't know which one. You did an episode. Patrick did an episode. And your episode was supposed to be with me as well. And because they were doing this thing where they wanted to have tandems, people that host podcasts together come on and work as a tandem. And I basically, like, day before, I think, had to pull out of that. And I this is, you know, people may take it the wrong way or whatever. I'm glad it did, because I want, you know, it gave you the opportunity to have that platform on your own, which is more than deserving. I had been pushing for both you and Patrick to be able to do those shows for a long time now. And had I been on it, I still would have tried to get them to push them to be like, you need to have her on her own at some point in the future. Now they'll probably have you and I on together at some point in the future, and that's fine. But I love that it got to be you only, and you got to do that. And I love the episode, and I think that everybody should definitely go listen to it and look out for the Patrick one. That's coming out here soon as well. But as the person that basically wrote both of you into this at different points in your lives,
yes.
I'm super excited that you got to do that. I just love seeing whenever any of you guys get to do these things. And there's a lot of people involved with the Chair Shot that would not be doing any of this stuff if I didn't sucker them into it. And it's great when you sucker somebody in, because I sucker people in that I think can do it and can do well. So it's not, you're not doing it because of me. You're doing it because you can actually do it and be good at it. And you're a perfect example of it. But I love that it happened that way. I think it worked out for the best, and I'm glad that it did. And definitely check that out. Listen to it, and it's a great time. So it's available on thechairshot.com. Just search for Badlands. You'll find it there. Just go to the podcast section. You'll find it. But good shit. Good shit indeed.
Yes, it is. It was, again, a really fun addition. And yeah, anything that you can make into a Mount Rushmore, the Badlands is covering it. So it's always a fun topic. That was actually a question that was asked during the VIP Q&A session for Nav 30 was, Nav was asked about his Mount Rushmore. I feel like it's the quintessential question that as a wrestling fan, you ask and you discuss. And so I love the format of the Badlands, because they take it beyond just wrestlers. They take it, you know, for managers and tag teams but moments and events and all of that. So again, the fact that I was able to do a Mount Rushmore of the worst debuts, it was like they knew me, they know me, they get me, because I just love dumb stuff, and a lot of this research for it was going through some pretty dumb stuff.
Pretty dumb stuff. And you get to hear Miranda's personal Mount Rushmore as well. So
Yes, you get to hear my Mount Rushmore. Sadie makes an appearance, for those of you who are big Sadie fans. So, you know, I know she hasn't been on the show lately because it's past her bedtime right now. So she's sleeping, taking some little puppy Z's. But I will try and do some work and get her on a future edition. They were ready to book her. They were ready to book Sadie. So now I've become also a stage dog mom. Getting Sadie ready for her podcasting debut.
I like it.
That's my life now. Yeah. So, but to all of you who listened to this week's episode and any episode of the Hashtag Miranda Show, thank you so much. I know this week we talked a lot about, you know, what's happening on the independent scene here in Arizona and in Vegas. But again, as Greg and I have stated, we are both part of our local independent scenes, and it's something that we are very passionate and dedicated to. So if you are listening to this in your own city and own state, just make sure you go out and check out your local independent promotions. And if you're not able to right now, even following them on social media, checking out their YouTube page, Instagram, Twitter, if they have a website, checking it out, if they have merchandise, even just buying a sticker or a t-shirt or a magnet or whatever they have, those little things that you can do to support your local independent promotion means the world. And not only are you supporting the promotion, but you're supporting the people that help run it. And you support the wrestlers who help put the shows together and are on the shows. And it allows you to see, you know, wrestlers from the past, present, and future all under one roof. And really, independent wrestling is a lifeline of the lifeblood of professional wrestling. You know, we wouldn't be able to see the stars that we have today if it wasn't the opportunities that they got on the independent scene. And many of them pass through, you know, small promotions and work their way up. And there's so many now who are still working, you know, and moving their way through different promotions. And as just wrestling fans and people who work for on wrestling shows, it's just very important, I know for me personally, to continue to support independent wrestling at any level in any capacity. So that is my, you know, PSA to all of you. Make sure that you check out your local wrestling promotions. Go ahead and support them. And you know that the wrestling is literally just in your neighborhood. It could be just, you know, a few minutes away or a few hours away. But go ahead and support your local wrestling promotions.
I want to throw one thing in there. You talked about buying someone stickers, t-shirts, or whatever. And I'm going to pull back the curtain just a little bit. A lot of times, especially if they're from out of town, that wrestler might not be turning a profit on that trip. And it's the merchandise sales that give them the opportunity to do so. So if you go to a wrestling show, an independent wrestling show, and you really, and someone's just like, wow, that's like, this became one of my favorites tonight on this event. Buying a t-shirt and being one of those people that buys a t-shirt could actually be the difference in whether or not, you know, make or break that event for them. And long term, make or break whether they continue to do this, because it's not always a winning proposition. It's a passion project for a lot of people. It has a long term goal in mind of getting to that next level. And so sometimes those merchandise sales really do make it for them. So yeah. You're getting more than just a t-shirt in a lot of those ways.
Yes, very much well said. Well, and don't forget to follow us on social media. Me, Miranda Morales. You can find me at the hashtag Miranda on Facebook and Instagram. You can follow The Chair Shot at Chair Shot Media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you can follow my co-host Greg at Chair Shot Greg on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Of course, thechairshot.com, which is your source for wrestling news, analysis, and opinions.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And there's also some great non-wrestling content on there. Some movie reviews, other sports that are featured, pop culture. That is all available too on TheChairShot.com. And please, if you are listening to this, whether it's you're watching it on YouTube or Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, please subscribe. That way you get notifications when this episodes or episodes of the hashtag Miranda Show drop. You can rate. We'd love a five star review. And you can also leave comments, give some feedback, ideas for future shows, and anything you'd like to list about the hashtag Miranda Show. I hope all of you enjoy your Thanksgiving week, whether you are celebrating that with friends and family, maybe you're just doing something low-key, ordering pizza or Chinese food at home, whatever it is, just know that I am so thankful for all of you who are listening, who are taking time out of your day to listen to this show. It means everything to me. I literally just spend, you know, an hour plus rambling with one of my best friends about pro wrestling and life, and the fact that you stay tuned to listen to it all is more than I could ever ask for. So thank you so much for listening to this episode and any episode of the hashtag Miranda Show. I'm Miranda Morales, and for Greg DeMarco, thank you, and make sure, well, that you keep it soft style.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.